The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Hi there, and welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, Evelyn Roth, and my co-host today is Elaine Hoskins. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Evelyn. Thank you so much for having me. And I am happy to be here on behalf of Project Independence. And we're hosting out of the Project Independence Lounge area at the Yes We Can Community Center in Westbury.
The fabulous Yes We Can Community Center in Westbury. It really is a remarkable facility. And if our listeners haven't seen it or visited it yet, time to do that here at 141 Garden Street. Project Independence is, of course, the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. And by that we mean we provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older residents of our community who want to remain in their own homes as they grow older. And some of the services we offer include transportation for food shopping and medical visits. We do some home repairs, minor home repairs. We have nurses and social workers who visit with our seniors who need that sort of help. We have volunteer programs, fitness classes, really anything that you feel that you need help with to be able to remain safely and healthfully in your own home. You can call the Town of North Hempstead at 311 or 869-6311 and ask for Project Independence, and we'll be there. And if we don't provide the service, we're going to do our best to find an agency or an entity that does. One of the fun things we do at Project Independence is our weekly radio show, which is heard here on 88.1 FM every Friday morning from 10 a.m. to noon. And today's show, we have some wonderful guests, Councilwoman Viviana Russell, who represents this area in the town council, is going to be with us later. Bernard Hardy, who is terrifically entertaining. He's a safety and security expert, but he does presentations for our seniors, and he's a very knowledgeable guy. And our first guest is here with us now, and she is Marcia Moultrie, and Marcia is the nurse with Project Independence that serves this area. So welcome to the show, Marcia.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. You know, Marcia, tell us a little bit about what you, as the Project Independence nurse, what do you do?
Well, to begin with, we do blood pressure screening, monitoring other conditions to the best of the ability as a nurse, give out good health information and education at the same time. We also do some home assessment. We will go to the home. If you cannot come out and you need to have your blood pressure taken, I will come to your home and take care of it as many times as needed. We take care of, try to do your medication management.
What does that mean, medication management? I know. I'm a senior, and there are one or two seniors in the room here today, and we take lots of medications, and sometimes it's hard to keep track of what we're taking, what goes with what we should take with food, without food, with drink, without drink,
right,
at bedtime, and it can get very confusing. You help with that?
Yes. What we try to do, once you get to the home and you will see, they'll bring out a nice little tray with so many medication, and some bottles are expired, some as repeat duplicate, but they don't really want to dump it. So, you know, you sit with them and you say, okay, this is the same thing, so you don't need this vial, you don't need this one, and this is what we do in terms of the management. If I need to call their physician for them, you know, usually you can call and speak with them and they'll give us also some guidance.
Now, I have a bottle of Tylenol in the house that I bought, and the label says 1992, Do I have to throw that away?
Definitely.
Why?
Is it
it's still good. It's almost half a bottle.
It's expired.
It's expired. What does
that
mean?
We're in 2014.
We are? No, yes. I knew that. I knew that. But what happens when a medication expires?
Well, it has some, you know, it loses its potency. It's not as strong as what it would be when you get that fresh bottle.
Okay.
So sometimes we do encounter that they really don't want to throw them away, but, you know, you just encourage and you just can't go in on demand. You take your time with them and try to get them to understand.
And I know, because the town of North Hempstead has taught me I don't throw it in the garbage.
That's correct.
And I don't dump it in the toilet.
That's correct.
I wait for the stop program.
That's correct.
And then I take it there, along with any other toxic waste. We'll tell you more about that later. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Marcia. Yeah.
So now, we do not let them, like she said, throw it away right there in the garbage. We pack it up for them, and I make sure that I get the date when it will be the stop program that we can, you know, dispose of the medication. And we also do referral to other agencies. Referral sometimes, it might be something very simple, but to them it has become a hardship. But just having us, a nurse, social worker, come by there, just to be there and guide them, it makes a world of difference. I am so happy for Project Independence because I think some of our seniors would have just, you know, be left at the wayside. But by us just intervening, giving them a little phone call, making sure that they have the necessary things, it makes a difference.
Marcia, you mentioned that you make home visits, but I'm wondering, aren't there other locations where the seniors can meet with you and have their blood pressure taken?
They can come right here to our main center. It's here at the Yes We Can Community Center. We are on the ground floor. I'm here Mondays and Wednesdays, and they can always come here.
Should they call first and make sure that you're here and that you're not out on a home visit, or just pop in?
Well, we have set times for the blood pressures.
Okay.
We have set times. It's usually in the mornings on Mondays.
Okay.
And then in the afternoon, if I'm going to be here, they'll know. If I'm not, if I'm going to do a home visit, then I also inform the front desk. And usually they'll call if they have to come.
We're very excited today. We have a studio audience, which is unusual for Project Independence and you. And they are all Project Independence members from this community. So I'd like to see a show of hands. Not going to be able to see it on the radio, but I'll let you know. How many of you folks have taken advantage of Project Independence services, blood pressure screening, or any of the other services? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, very good. Good response. And someone who doesn't want to raise her hand. Okay.
So I wanted to ask you, Marcia, I know that in addition to providing like an interim service with the blood pressure, that you also host health information chats, as we refer to them in Project Independence.
Mm-hmm. We do try to have small sessions with someone who can come in to speak about a particular topic that would be of interest to a senior. And we try to arrange these, get them approved, and the seniors do come in and participate, ask their questions, and leave very satisfied with the information that was, you know, given out to them at these health chats.
I know you have a lot of physicians who come in.
Yes, we
do. And explain different chronic conditions that our seniors have, and then they are able to ask questions. But one of the difficulties that I've heard about is that people find it difficult to talk with their doctor. They have a doctor's appointment, they go in, there's 18 people in the waiting room, they can see the doctor is rushed, they have a lot of questions, there's a lot of pressure. Sometimes they don't remember their questions because they haven't written them down in advance. I know that we have a program called How to Talk to Your Doctor, where a nurse actually comes in and makes a presentation. Have you been part of that?
Yes, we have. What we will do is sit with them, and they're much more comfortable for some reason with the nurse. No disrespect, doctors, but they are much more comfortable with the nurse, and they'll, you know, present their question, because sometimes they feel, oh, he's not going to understand, but they'll present it to the nurse. We will write it out for them, or sometimes just intervene and ask the doctor for them.
Well, I'd really like to, we don't have a lot of time left in this segment, but I'd really like to find out from you a few case histories of people that you've worked with. We don't want to know their names, and we don't want to be able to identify them, but just to give us an idea of the kinds of cases that you see on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, okay, let me see. One that comes to mind immediately is I had a constituent who came in, and as I saw the person walking in, I said, there's something wrong. You look very, you know, your color is not right. And as I took his blood pressure, it was very high. To make a long story short, he was sent to the emergency room and was seen and evaluated. Medication was changed. He's feeling so much better. But a week later, he came back and he said, I just want to say thank you, because I would have just gone home and lay down and not pay any attention to how I was feeling. I just thought I was tired. So again, this is where Project Independence really, really came in and was
maybe
there for this person,
yeah,
and saved a life.
And because blood pressure, hypertension, high blood pressure, there really are no symptoms, right?
There are times that it's like they call it the silent killer. Sometimes there are no symptoms.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we will entertain some questions, if you have some questions for Marcia. We'll get some more information about people that with whom she's been working in this community, and just find out a little bit more about her background. I want to warn you, don't ask her how long she's been nursing, because she won't tell you. Okay, please stay tuned, and we will be right back with Project Independence and you. Welcome back to Project Independence and you. I'm your host, Evelyn Roth. My co-host today is Elaine Hoskins. Elaine, you're doing a great job.
Thank
You've never
you.
Done this before, right?
No, I have never applaud. Done this before. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Are you having a good time?
I'm having a fantastic time.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. You know, folks, every week we have a different co-host on the radio, on Project Independence and you. And one of them is sitting in the back of the room. David Linden is a co-host. And most of our co-hosts have no prior radio experience. They just enjoy talking to people, and they have an interest in the issues that we talk about. And we're always looking for volunteers. So if you're interested in being a radio star here in the town of North Hempstead, please call us, come and see us after the show, or call 311 or 869-6311, and we would love to have you. And all our hosts have a great time, right, David?
Yes.
Yes, he said yes. Okay. All right, back to Marcia Moultrie, who is the nurse serving Project Independence members here in the Westbury area. And when we left, Marcia was talking about some of the cases that she handles. Go ahead.
We have another case, so I have another case where there is a constituent who lives alone. I've gone several times to spend some time with him. He's just so happy that, you know, somebody's coming. And the very first time I walked in there, all of his meds and all of his personal items, they are on the floor, because the room came just with a bed, you know. So of course I encourage him on how we can get this together, how we can fix it up and set it up for him. And these are the things, again, between the nurse and the social worker that we do here at Project Independence for our seniors.
I know when you go in, you do an extensive intake and assessment of the situation and the individual. What does that consist of?
Well,
what are you looking for?
We try to get a health history.
Okay.
First thing, to find out, you know, what issues that they may have had. We try to see what services they will need and try to make the appropriate referral to help this particular senior. And try to let him know also of what we can offer, what we can do, and so forth.
And I know you also check out the environment. You mentioned with this one individual, he had stuff all over the floor, which is dangerous. Falls, we know, are a major cause of injury to seniors. And when stuff is piled up on the floor, we tend to trip over it. I know I do. So you check out the kind of safety conditions.
That's the first thing you do when you walk in, to look for the extension cords that is going from one end of the room to the other. Try to see what you can do to fix it, put it behind something. Look for the little throw rugs that they can trip on. Look for drawers that are hanging out, and for some reason it's not like being guided correctly. And sometimes all they need is someone to just come in and do these small things that can be so dangerous, and it becomes a big issue.
And are you, the region that you cover is Westbury and Carl Place?
I cover Westbury and Carl Place.
Okay, and that's the Project Independence region served by
region.
Our staff here at the Yes We Can Community Center. And I know that you're involved in the telehealth program. Do we have any clients in the telehealth program? No? The telehealth program, folks, is like its big brother. Have any of you, have any relatives who are monitored via the telehealth program? No? What it is they put this equipment in your house, and the equipment takes your blood pressure, can take blood sugar readings, your cholesterol readings, can take your weight and your height. And this equipment is monitored from a nursing station, which is, of course, not in your home. And in this way, they can monitor many people at one time. And it's a new program. It's of course, very expensive to establish. But once they get it going, it turns out that it's reasonably cost, because people don't have to come in to see their doctor or their nurses. They're monitored, and because they pick up on conditions that otherwise might turn out to be serious conditions. And the telehealth program is done via North Shore LIJ, so maybe that's why you're not involved in it. But certainly, if you have any questions about the telehealth program, you can call 311 or 869-6311. And I see that we've been joined by the guy who directs the 311 program. Vinny, how are you? Vinny's been a guest on our show. And his people do a great job. Okay, back to Marcia. Diabetes screening, do you get involved in that?
Well, we do talk about if they're diabetic. I try to go through with their diet, make sure that they're taking their meds appropriately, teach them how to use their syringe sometimes to do their insulin. Again, as I said, look through their meal planning and so forth. Whenever necessary, I will call their physician for them, just to make sure that what they have there is the proper thing, because sometimes they haven't been to the doctor in a while. So I will call to make sure that I am given the right direction, you know, and the right guidance.
And do you let people know about our medical transportation program?
Oh, most certainly.
And do we have a lot of people who use it?
Yes.
Because when you mentioned the fact that there was someone who hadn't seen her doctor, We had a call early on when we first started the medical transportation program from a woman who called and said she was so thrilled with the program because before we instituted this program, which, as you know, is steeply discounted rides for to visit your doctor, your dentist, or for treatment services, she hadn't seen her doctor in 5 years. This was a senior citizen. And so this is a program that's very heavily used. It's a wonderful program. What we do is we take the Medicaid rate, which it's not a Medicaid program, but Medicaid has established rates for transportation all over Long Island. And we take that Medicaid rate, and the taxi companies we work with have agreed to accept that rate for transportation, for medical visits, for our Project Independence members. And then the rider pays half of that rate, and the town pays the other half. So you get a really, really inexpensive ride to your doctor or your dentist or your medical treatment facility, as long as it's within the town of North Hempstead. Or we also go to Nassau County Medical Center, and we also go to Garden City, the doctors that are connected with Winthrop. We were right across Old Country Road in Garden City. So again, 311 is the way you access the medical transportation, and you call one day in advance to make your reservation. How many of you have used Project Independence Medical or shopping transportation services? Okay. I see a person in the back. This is good. Not many, because you folks are driving. You're getting around fine. But the program is there for you when you need it.
I wanted to just ask you, Marcia, once you meet with the constituent the first time, mm-hmm. and you make referrals if necessary, how do you follow up with that individual, or is it a one-time contact once you make the referral? Mm-hmm. How does that part work?
I usually, I will come back about a week later. I will give them a call and see how things are working out. And if they cannot come in to see me, I will again go back to their home and meet with them and see that things are working out.
Okay. Well, folks, that's your introduction to nursing services via Project Independence here in the Westbury Carl Place area. I want to thank you so much, Marcia Moultrie, for being with us today. Did you have a good time?
A wonderful time. And again, I'm saying to those of you who are listening and did not become a member of Project Independence, I do encourage you to do that, because there is help here for you. There is assistance for you. So please try and get registered.
And even if you're not registered, we'll help you. But you can call 311 to get those documents. And now this is your last chance. Any questions for Marcia? Anybody? Okay, great job, Marcia Moulton. Before we introduce our next guest, I just want to let folks know that on Wednesday, May 14th, from 10 a.m. to 12, at Clinton Martin Park, our supervisor, Judy Bosworth, is sponsoring, along with all the elected officials, from the federal officials on down, who represent this area, an expo called Getting to Know Your Government. And I'll tell you who'll be there: Congressman Steve Israel, County Executive Ed Mangano, Supervisor Judy Bosworth, Senator Jack Martins, Assemblywoman Michelle Schimmel, County Legislator Ellen Birnbaum, and all of our town council people. So you can actually go there, get information about whatever level of government you're interested in, walk up to these guys, ask them the question you've been dying to ask them for years or months or whatever, about that street light on your block or that pothole that hasn't been fixed. This is your chance. So I'm going to urge you to all register by calling 311 or 869-6311. And again, that's Wednesday, May 14th. 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Clinton Martin Park. I also want to strongly recommend The Thin Man. Do you remember The Thin Man? Remember the movie, The Thin Man? It was a lot of fun. There is a radio play presentation of The Thin Man this Friday at 2 p.m. at Dan's Shop, the Hillwood Recital Hall of LIU Post. Tickets are $10, discounted for Project Independence members. I'm going to tell you more about that. But now we've got to move to our break. Stay tuned to Project Independence and you. Welcome back to Project Independence and you. I'm your host, Evelyn Roth. My co-host is...
Elaine Hoskins.
And Elaine is...
I am the activities coordinator at the Project Independence Lounge, located at the new Town of North Hempstead, Yes We Can Community Center, 141 Garden Street in Westbury.
And you must see it to believe it, folks. And our next guest, and we are delighted to have her, is... Councilwoman who represents this district on the North Hempstead Town Council, Viviana Russell. Please welcome Viviana.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great.
You survived last night's board meeting?
I did, and it was relatively early meeting. I thought we would be there till like 1 o'clock in the morning, and we got out about 9, a little after 9.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, we had a lot of great things on our agenda last night. One that specifically involves Project Independence, we received a grant for a wheelchair-accessible vehicle. So that's really, really great. It will enhance our programs that we have here in Project Independence.
Okay.
Yes.
And I understand that there was a bit of controversy over one of the items?
Yes, there was. So one of the items that was on the agenda last night was the rescission of the overlay district here in the Newcastle community. We had quite a few people that came out and spoke in favor and against it. So what we decided to do was to adjourn the meeting, and we're putting together a legal housing committee to work on the illegal housing issues, because clearly that was the biggest concern of everyone in the room.
Mm-hmm. You know what I love about the North Hempstead Town Council?
What? Tell me.
You now have 6 members, and 4 of them are
women.
And now you have a female supervisor as well.
Yes.
So you guys are going to do great stuff.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now I understand you got a grant for the Yes We Can Center. You've been involved with the Yes We Can Center from the beginning.
Yes.
How did this happen, this incredible space?
Well, from the very beginning, going back before I was a councilwoman as a resident here in the Newcastle community, there was a visioning process that took place over 10 years ago. And that visioning process comprised of the government, the residents, stakeholders, meaning businesses and local nonprofit and organizations in the community. And there was a visioning process where the community came together with all the stakeholders to talk about what their wants and needs were in the community. And from that visioning process, the thought and the idea to build a community center. There were a lot of other things like street calming along Prospect Avenue, mixed-use buildings along Prospect Avenue, and other things. But this community center is really like the culmination of that visioning process. It's something that this community has wanted for a very, very long time, and it's here. And it's fabulous.
It is fabulous.
It's fabulous.
It really is. And what about this new grant?
So about 2 weeks ago, we received a grant from the Million Women Development Corporation of Long Island, which is an organization that came about after the Million Women March that happened in Philadelphia in 1997, I think it was. Right, in 1997. Actually, Elaine Hoskins was very instrumental in that group. And they formed like an advisory committee where they were able to garner support of residents and local stakeholders to provide scholarships for students to attend the community center, to get membership to the community center, as well as seniors to have membership in the fitness center downstairs on the lower level.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was a grant for $2,417. And I remember that because we accepted it as a gift last night at the town board meeting.
That's wonderful. Yes. Anna. So what else is going on in town hall and in your district office? You're getting a lot of visitors?
Well, this is Earth. This is the month that we celebrate our Earth, and yesterday was Earth Day, so we have a lot of things going on with regards to the environment. I just saw a friend Reed's head outside in the hallway a minute ago, but they've been doing fantastic things to help us maintain and sustain ourselves here on Earth. We had our Earth Day contest yesterday. We awarded a student from one of the local schools with an award for the best design for our new t-shirts, for our Earth Day and EcoFest t-shirts. And as a young lady, I believe she might have been in the sixth grade, and it's phenomenal, the ideas and the creativity that we get from our young kids.
I love the Trashin' Show.
Yes.
Do you folks know about the Trashin' Show? Where they make fashions out of recycled stuff.
Yes.
It's just amazing.
Some of the things you would see on 7th Avenue or 6th Avenue. Yes, on the runway. It was really like bringing Fashion Week here to Long Island. It was absolutely beautiful. Actually, one of the dresses that one of the young ladies wore, I would love to buy it. Really. It was made out of a shower curtain and aluminum cans.
Oh, my goodness.
It was really nice. It was a beautiful gown. It was really, really nice.
Now, Scarlett O'Hara made her gown out of drapes, right? But this
was
a shower curtain.
It was beautiful. It was really beautiful.
Okay.
It was really beautiful.
I'd like to ask, to back up a little bit, mm-hmm. and ask about the committee that's going to be formed on behalf of the Newcastle Initiative that came about last evening. Who is going to be a part of that committee? Is that something that the constituents can participate in?
Yes, so it will be a committee formed by the town board, and we will have residents of the community involved, some of the civic organizations, as well as the school district. One of the things that was very clearly made to us, not just last night, but over time, is that we have a huge overcrowding issue in our schools. And it's very important for us that we stay in communication with the schools on how we can help each other in dealing with the illegal housing issue.
Okay, so would that be a 311 call to inquire about that committee?
They can call 311 or they can call my office.
Okay, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Viviana, I know that you're a businesswoman, you're a wife, you're a mother. Tell us how your journey to elective office. I think people would be interested in knowing some of the things that you've done.
Well, I started out when I first moved into this community as a person that just worked in Manhattan. And I would come home and cook dinner and help with the homework. And, go to bed. And go to bed. And my husband was very involved and active in the different things in the community. And I went to a meeting with him one night, and I met this woman by the name of Mildred Little. I don't see her here in the room today. And she pulled us aside and said, "You have to get involved in your community." And I said, naturally, I don't have time. I work in Manhattan. By the time I get home, it's late. I need time to spend with my kids. She said, "Well, you're making an investment in your kids. You have to get involved." And she pretty much pulled me into getting involved. She already had my husband, and then she pretty much pulled me into getting involved. And it's been terrific. My first project that I worked on as a community advocate was working with the seniors across the street at Magnolia Gardens through a grant through Weed and Seed. And I worked through Unified Newcastle as a program coordinator, working with the residents of Magnolia Gardens to empower them to speak up for themselves with regard to the conditions over at Magnolia Gardens. And that lasted for about a year, and it was tremendous. It was very tremendous. It started out dealing with maybe like two or three residents that were pretty vocal that lived over at Magnolia Gardens, and we had about maybe 10. But we wrote letters to the housing authority, to all of our local elected officials, and it helped improve their conditions there. If you go and you look, and some of the people that are here now, I think, live there, it's a tremendous difference.
Yeah.
Tremendous difference than how it was before.
I have a question. Yeah. Before you did the Magnolia Garden Initiative, were you a Black captain?
Yes, I was. Thank you. So I was a Black captain first, and a Black captain is like Neighborhood Watch. Are you familiar with Neighborhood Watch? It's similar to Neighborhood Watch, where a group of people will get together, and depending on what block you lived on, if there were enough Black captains, you would be in charge of disseminating information to the people that lived on your block. And if there weren't a lot of people involved, you would have maybe two or three blocks. And as a part of the Black captains, we would disseminate information to our neighbors, as well as come back, meet, put all this information together, strategize with how we would address the issues or concerns that came from our neighbors, and then bring it to the appropriate agency. So if it was something to do with parking, we would bring it to the town of North Hempstead. If it was an issue with our schools, we would bring it to the school board. And it was very, very productive, and it was a very great avenue for people's voices to be heard. Because like myself in the beginning, when I said I didn't have time, I couldn't make it to meetings, we were kind of that voice for the other people that lived in our community. Mm. So thank you for reminding me of that.
Yes, I remember also that you, there was an organization called Hugs Realty, and you had a lot of information about housing within this region, mm-hmm. Newcastle, Carl Place, Westbury. Could you touch on that a bit? Like what type of work was that actually with the Hugs Realty that you did?
I am a New York State licensed real estate agent as well, and I did work with Hugs Realty. And it was more than just real estate. It really became more of like a social real estate, because not only did we help people find homes and apartments, but we walked them through the process of buying a home. You know, there's a lot of things that people need to know when buying a home. For instance, when you're buying a home right now, there's really no one that looks at what's in your home and compares against what's on file at the building department. And the average person just doesn't know that they need to do that. And it's not a real estate agent's responsibility to do that, but working in Hugs, we make sure we did that. We would not rent apartments that we knew that were illegal. We did things, everything above board. And it's not always was it received in a great manner. We definitely lost money on it being that way, but it was the right thing to do. And we also worked with a lot of people that were from low income situations that might have had social service programs like Section 8 or DSS services.
Did that spark your interest in getting more involved with the town? Because if I recall correctly, Hugs did get very involved with getting people to raise the standards of their living situation.
Can I ask Viviana to hold the answer to that question? Because we need to take a break.
Sure.
And folks, I hope you have some questions for your town councilwoman, your great town councilwoman. You're listening to Project Independence, and you, please stay tuned, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Project Independence, and you. Our guest is Viviana Russell. She is the town council person representing the Westbury Carl Place region.
And Old Westbury.
And Old Westbury.
Yeah.
And mustn't forget Old Westbury. And I happen to have the honor to be the first commissioner of the Department of Services for the Aging and to develop Project Independence with then Supervisor John Kamen. And of course, now I'm retired and I just do fun stuff, like the radio show. But I remember that Viviana was always in our corner. She was one of our staunchest supporters. She always voted for everything Project Independence needed, always interested in the stuff that we were doing. And now there's a new program that Project Independence is starting.
Yes, we just got the approval for a swimming program at Bunky Reed Park. Over the summer, it'll be once a week, and for members of Project Independence.
That's great.
Yes.
And is it a... is it an exercise program or just swimming? Or?
It's a swimming and exercise and lessons for seniors.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we just got the approval for that just a few minutes ago. So we got the go-ahead on that, and that will be starting this summer.
So how... Project Independence has obviously come a long way since you started.
It has. It's tremendous. It started with just one region as a pilot, uh-huh. and now it grew. We have, what, how many regions now?
Seven.
Yeah, seven different regions, and they're all up and running, and, you know, I don't know if I should say that. I think this is the best region. Right? This
Absolutely.
Is the best region? it's grown tremendously since its inception. You know, John came in, supervisor came in at the time, had a great vision for this program, and I'm glad that he championed it and had the support of the town board. And it has really, really overcame some hurdles in the beginning, but it has really flourished into a wonderful program. I want to be a senior in North Hempstead. Really, the programs that are offered here are not offered in other communities. My mother-in-law lives in Florida, and they don't have this. And you would think a place like Florida, where you hear a lot of people retire too, they don't have a program like this with the amount of free services to our senior citizens. It's just not there. And I have to commend the town of North Hempstead for following through with this program and the great work that you started and now Casey, Commissioner Myers, is doing. It's really wonderful. And we have the buy-in of the seniors, and that's the most important thing, because this program could not work without the seniors. So thank all of you for continuing to support this program. We know that it benefits you, but it benefits the entire community, entire town of North Hempstead. And it's a model. It's a model for our nation.
Yeah, it's true. And this program is really based on the input that we get from the various advisory committees. And I know many of you sitting in this room are members of the Westbury Carr Place Advisory Committee. And these committees, and I always do this plug on the radio, meet on a monthly basis. There are committees in the seven regions throughout the town. We are always looking for more members and more input. And you don't need to make a lifelong commitment. You don't need to pay dues. There are no elections. You sit down once a month, talk with the staff of Project Independence, let them know what's going on in the community and what the community needs. And then they try as best they can to develop programs to meet those needs. And in order to become a member of an advisory committee, all you need to do is call 311 or 869-6311. Find out when the next meeting is in your community. Show up. You can sit and listen. If you think you'd like it, join up, come again. And if not, not. But it really is an incredible process. And I can tell you that virtually every important program that Project Independence does came out of one of our local advisory committee meetings. The ideas for working with the taxi companies to provide transportation, the ideas for the Help at Home program for minor home repairs, mm-hmm. the ideas, and I know you're working on something now in Westbury, and we're not allowed to talk about it because it's a big secret, but it's going to be another great program. So join up. If you're not a member, if you're a senior in the town of North Hempstead, no matter where you live, there's a really convenient meeting that you can get to once a month. Call 311 and join us. This facility, one of the reasons I know that you say that this region is the best region, besides having the best people, is they really do have the best facility.
Yes.
This facility is marvelous. And I know that it is a platinum LEED certified building.
Yes.
What does that mean?
That's the highest level of environmentally friendly status that the U.S. government gives for buildings. And it ranges from bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. And we have obtained the highest level of certification for the building.
Okay. You, Viviana, of course, were or are the first African-American woman ever elected to the North Hempstead Town Board.
Yes.
Does that play into your work on the town board?
That's an unexpected question.
Yeah. I know you.
Yes and no. No, in the sense that, you know, just because I'm African American, you know, I still govern in a manner as everyone else. Yes, because I think it gives a sense of pride to the African American community to have someone that actually looks like them representing them on the board.
Well, it was an unexpected question, but a great answer. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering if you have seen the growth of more people of African descent becoming involved in the work of the town of North Hempstead and involved in Project Independence as a result of your role, your new role as the town councilwoman, or your influence in the community?
I can't take credit for it, but I definitely have seen a increase in the involvement. I mentioned last night at our meeting with regards to the overlay district, when that became part of the town code back in 2006, there were maybe 10 people in the room from the Westbury community at large, not just the Newcastle community, but the Westbury community at large. And last night, there were about 50.
Wow.
And that was great to see, because over the years, you know, people in this community just have not been as involved in government, in the process of what happens in their own community. So it's really good to see, you know, more people involved, whether you're for or against an issue, just be involved in it. And that's very, very important. So it was great to see.
You know, on a personal note, how many kids do you have?
Three.
How old are they?
You're going to embarrass me now. So I'll start with my youngest. My youngest is 10. My youngest is a son. My son Malachi, he's 10. My daughter is 18. She'll be 19 in a week and a half. And my oldest is my son, Gary, who is 24.
No, we don't believe that.
Yes.
Okay. When I was a young mother, I had three kids. I was involved, very involved in politics, and they hated it. I mean, they would come to the headquarters and stuff envelopes and get on the bike and give out flyers, but they hated it. They said, we're never going to do this. This is terrible. This is because it took so much time. And I was wondering, how do your kids feel about your involvement and what impact does it have? Do they all want to grow up to be council people? Or
absolutely not. Absolutely not. So my oldest son, he was already in college when I got involved in politics, or became an elected official, rather. But when he was younger, he was there with me as an advocate in the community. So he came with me to all of the meetings. And now at 24... he lives in North Carolina. He's in the Marines. And I listened to his conversation, and he took in a lot of the things that were going on that we were advocating for. It's just amazing what they actually recollect and what they actually hold. And it's good stuff. You know, he advocates for people. You know, he's in service for other people. So it's a great thing. My daughter, you know, she could take it or leave it. You know, she's more concerned that, you know, I'm there for her when, you know, when she needs me.
Sure.
And then my youngest son, I think he wants to be president.
You know? Right. Okay.
Yeah, he's called the mayor in school. He's very diplomatic in things that he does. He's a trendsetter in school. I think he would probably be the one that would follow in my footsteps, per se.
How do you feel about that?
I would support him, yeah.
I would hope so.
I would. I would, I would vote for him. I would vote for him.
I have a question, go ahead. Your other hat that you wear, since we're talking about mothering, I know that you wear another hat with the National Association of Mother Centers.
Yes.
Does your political role play a part in that position as well?
No, it doesn't. I have to keep them separate because it is a nonprofit organization. I keep them completely separate. But I can tell you that as in my role at the National Association of Mother Centers, I'm the communications project manager there. But we do advocate. We do a lot of advocacy work for public policy as it relates to women, mothers, and caregivers. So sometimes my knowledge in the political field or in the governance field is very helpful in that arena. But I also learn a lot. We have an advocacy coordinator that works in D.C. that goes to every briefing on any and everything that can possibly impact caregivers or mothers or women. And she makes sure that they are always in the conversation, a part of the conversation, that we make sure that when we're looking at voting rights or health care issues, that we make sure that we include women, mothers, and caregivers as a whole in the conversation, because that's very important.
Right on.
So I learn a lot from it.
Okay. I want to thank Councilwoman Viviana Russell for being with us today.
Thank you.
Great job.
Thank you.
Folks, your constituents are lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Project Independence is lucky to have you. We will be right back after a short break. We hope you stick with us. You're listening to Project Independence and You.
The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome back to Project Independence and You. I'm your host, Evelyn Roth. My co-host is Elaine Hoskins, who is
the activities coordinator at Project Independence at the PI Lounge in the new town of North Hempstead, Yes We Can Community Center.
And of course, we are broadcasting today from the Yes We Can Community Center. And for those town of North Hempstead residents who have not been here, who have not joined, you must at least come and see this building. It is fabulous, it is beautiful. And it is yours if you're a town of North Hempstead resident. So come visit at 141 Garden Street in Westbury. And I now want to welcome our next guest. He is North Hempstead Town Clerk. He's been with us before, and he's been with us wearing many different hats. He is Wayne Wink. Welcome, Wayne.
Well, thank you, Evelyn. It's great to be here, as always.
Well, it's great to have you back. Now, you are now the town clerk. Congratulations
mm-hmm.
on
Thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you graduated to town clerk from your seat on the Nassau County Legislature.
Right, right.
So,
which was a middle school degree, I guess, from my original position as a councilman
right,
in the town of North Hempstead.
A town of North Hempstead councilman. Yeah. So on the legislature, you're one guy working with a bunch of other guys,
right,
but
right.
you're in a body of what, 18?
Is it 18? 19 in the county legislature.
And you work on developing legislation, trying to get it passed. You do some constituent service.
Right.
Town clerk, whole different ballgame.
Much more administrative, much more of a, in some cases, an executive position
right.
In terms of issuing licenses and permits and things of that nature. I wear a lot of different hats because I have a lot of different titles as the town clerk. I'm not only the clerk to the town board, I'm also the registrar of vital statistics, which means that I issue birth certificates, death certificates, marriage licenses, which leads me to another title, which is I'm the official marriage officer of the town. So any of you looking to get married, by all means, come down and
raise your hand.
We can take care of business for you, which is actually one of the most enjoyable parts of my job, quite frankly, is the ability to you know, set a couple off on their new life together, right in my office, or in some cases when the weather permits, the gazebo across the street in town, from town hall. So it really is an enjoyable part of my job. I'm also the records management officer of the town, so I'm responsible for everything from the building permits issued in the last couple weeks to the Donkin patent, which was actually created in the 1600s. And actually is the basis by which the town of North Hempstead exists. The Donkin was the governor at the time.
Is that like Dunkin' Donuts?
I wish. No, it's actually, it's with a G. So, but everything issued, all the records of the town for the last 400 years pass through my office at some point or another, or my responsibility to help maintain and preserve. So it really is a fascinating job.
And how do you maintain and preserve old records?
You do it very carefully.
Yes.
you are responsible for making sure that, you know, we have climate control facilities in the town clerk's office, inside of vaults, so that our, you know, so that we're able to protect documents. We also, whenever possible, are now microfilming and otherwise digitizing documents, so that those documents will always be available in some form or another. We maintain the originals in most cases, but we also want to have digital copies of everything, so that when you go in to look up a particular building file, you will be able to access everything that's been issued on that property. Historically, we've seen instances where, in a completely papered environment, things disappear, they fall through the cracks, they literally fall between file cabinets in some cases and disappear for the ages until somebody decides to renovate the building and relocate the file cabinets. What we're responsible for doing is helping to make sure that we keep digital records as well as the paper and hard copies.
So how do you like this work compared to being a legislator?
It's very, very fulfilling. There's a lot of great things I get to do. In fact, most recently I was just named the chairman of the Ecological Commission for the town of North Hempstead, which is a very fulfilling mission for me. I've always had a role in environmental projects and things like that, whether it be at the town or the county. And now I'm in a position where we can actually start advocating and implementing some really green and environmentally sensitive programs throughout the town of North Hempstead. So that's really a wonderful thing. I get to do a lot of great things in the town, and I never get to vote on raising taxes. So it's a win-win for me in many respects, unlike being in the county legislature where, you know, you were always, everything you were giving to one almost meant you had to take away from somebody else. In the town of North Hempstead, we are well-run, we are fiscally sound, and we can make those types of policy choices without necessarily having negative implications for other people.
You had some great victories, though, when you were county legislator.
Well, we worked on a number of great things, the Silver Alert program.
Tell us about that.
Well, that's a program. Silver Alert is actually been enhanced and, I think, expanded a bit in recent years, but we were actually one of the first municipalities in the country to create. Everybody knows what Amber Alert is. You know, when a child goes missing, God forbid, the Amber Alert system goes into effect. It's the rapid dissemination of information about that child and who that child may have been seen with or what vehicle that child may have been seen in. We've all seen those types of warnings on the highways and whatnot. Silver Alert is actually the same type of program as Amber Alert, but for seniors and those with cognitive disorders, so Alzheimer's, dementia, any type of cognitive disorder, when someone goes missing, we are able to rapidly disseminate that information to the police, to emergency services, to different agencies that would otherwise interact with those seniors, and help to return those seniors home quickly. We all know that when we see a two-year-old walking on the street by themselves, that child is in danger. We just know that inherently, you know, implicitly. But you don't necessarily know that when you see a 75-year-old man walking down the street. You assume that that person is capable of caring for themselves, but it may not always be the case because of these debilitating diseases like Alzheimer's and dementia. So having that additional form of dissemination of information was, I thought, very helpful to ensuring the safe return of seniors to their homes. And there were a few very, very tragic stories that had come about in the months leading up to when I was able to actually get that law passed, including, you know, people who would wander off in the middle of the night. And in one case, right here nearby in Carl Place, a gentleman wandered off at 2:30 in the morning. Unfortunately, he only lived a block or two away from the Meadowbrook Parkway. And at 2:30 in the morning, he was struck and killed on the parkway. Unfortunately, we all have stories like that. We all know people who suffered from dementia and Alzheimer's and whose death could have been prevented if we could have actually helped to track them better. Silver Alert was intended to do that. So it really was something I'm very proud of at the county level. And as I say, I'm happy that it's been expanded. I hope someday that it's going to become a statewide program. They're still working on that, from what I understand.
Really?
So, yeah. Still a work in progress in Albany.
Good old Albany.
That's it.
Well, Wayne, on behalf of all the seniors of the County of Nassau, I want to thank you for the Silver Alert program. I myself sometimes wander off.
Well, I've been accused of the same thing, and Silver Alert ain't going to help me, so.
Independence, a tremendous number of seniors who are professionals that are retired, and they volunteer to help implement some of the programming that we offer through Project Independence. So I'm just wondering if the clerk's office have some items of interest, items that may be of interest to seniors that are professional. And that,
you know, that's a fascinating idea. I mean, as you know, I'm still really, even after 3 or 4 months, I'm still really getting my feet wet in a lot of areas with the town clerk's office. You know, everything I touched upon already doesn't even factor in the licenses we issue for tow trucks and taxis and peddlers and secondhand stores and whatnot. All of these things actually go through the clerk's office. Just so much of what day-to-day government is about in the town of North Hempstead goes through my office in one form or another. And it really has been fascinating to learn all the different nuances and all the different facets that make up the clerk's office. As we go forward, I would love to be in a position to help bring in the experts, as it were, you know, the people with the experience who can actually help us guide through the process, even if it's from a lay position of, you know, it takes me too long to get this type of permit, you know, your dog license or anything of that nature. You know, people who can actually be our users, and so we can be more user-friendly as a clerk's office, I think would be a great opportunity, and I would look forward to that.
I wonder if anyone in our audience has any questions for Wayne Wink, our town clerk. Anybody here interested in getting married and wants a license? Okay. Wayne, I know that you're very involved in EcoFest and Earth Day activities, and what's coming up?
This weekend, Saturday and Sunday, EcoFest is taking place at one of the real crown jewels of the town park system, Clark Botanic Gardens. And Clark has been an amazing place. Just the ecosystem of 14 acres in the middle of North Hempstead in Albertson has just been, for me, one of the great joys of being involved with the town before and presently. EcoFest will be there to provide people with information, to provide all sorts of opportunities for people to understand how their day-to-day lives impact our environment and what we can do to improve upon our environment. You know, ironically, I'm here today because as part of the Earth Day celebration, which obviously we're celebrating right now, I actually, on the other end of the spectrum, got to be a judge in the students' video contest, which we actually reviewed everything downstairs this morning. And that was our opportunity to realize just how much the future generation, the next generations of the town, already know that we're still learning about how to conserve water. This year's motto is slow the flow, save H2O. And it's really an amazing opportunity to see, you know, we saw everybody from kindergartners to high school students present videos to help teach all of us, young and old alike, how to actually save water.
Okay. We've been talking with Wayne Wink, who is the town clerk for the town of North Hempstead. A lot of interesting stuff goes on in that office. And maybe pretty soon you guys will be volunteering to help him. But you're listening to Project Independence, and you, please stay tuned, and we will be right back.
Presenting Superman. Up in the sky, look, it's a bird. It's Superman! And now, Superman, eighth wonder of the modern world, visitor from a distant planet whose strength knows no limits, whose endurance is beyond anything humanity has ever known,
We have seen how the child of Jor-El and Lara was placed in the rocket ship and sent on his way to Earth. During the long journey of the rocket ship to the Earth, the child has become a man. The rocket landed in a desert. Superman stepped forth full grown to explore this strange new world in which he found himself. Today, as our story continues, we find him hovering with his curious power above a quiet highway in Indiana. A trolley car is just pulling up the hill, and as Superman wheels and turns in curious flight, unseen below, a man and a boy come out of the shed that serves as waiting room.
Morning, Professor.
Good morning.
Going into town?
Yes, that's right, John. Taking Jimmy to the fair.
It is a great show, all right. Well, I reckon you're my only passengers. Make yourselves at home. I'm going to get me a drink of water.
All right.
Why, Dad, we've got the trolley all to ourselves.
Yeah, regular private car.
Where'd the motorman go?
And just over to the spring for a drink. It's a mighty hot day.
You better hurry or we'll be late.
We can't start without the motorman.
But we are starting. Look, Dad, the doors have closed. We're moving.
Yes, what happened?
Dad, I want to get out.
The brakes. Something happened to the brakes.
Let's get out, quick. Open the doors.
They're jammed. They're tight shut.
Dad, we're going faster and faster. We're going downhill. Dad, what are we going to do?
Jimmy, come here.
The window. Out the window, Dad. Get it open. Smash it.
Oh, wait.
Jump, Dad. Jump.
No. It's too late. Going too fast.
We've got to, Dad. Look, there ahead. There's a tree.
Jimmy.
A tree. A tree's falling right in the tracks.
Look. There in the sky. It's a man.
Why, he's flying.
It can't be. It's not possible.
Dad, he's coming straight at us. He's moving down. He's tearing off the roof. Dad.
Quick. Grab hold of me.
No, put me down. Let me go.
Stop it.
One under each arm. Out through the top. Hold on. We're going to crash. Well, we just got out of that in time. The trolley car's a wreck. Smashed into a million pieces.
Where are you going? What are you doing to us?
What's happening? Put us down.
Don't be frightened. You're all right. I had to get you out of there in a hurry. Pulling off that roof was the only way. Now we're going down again. Down. Down. There you are. Safe and sound in a field.
Well, I don't know what to say.
Quite all right, Professor. Getting you and the boy out of that car was nothing.
I can't believe it.
Who are you, anyway? Where do you come from?
I have no name. I come from a world that no longer exists. Here in this world of yours, men would call me a Superman.
It's a dream. A wild, impossible dream.
But, Dad, it happened. We saw it. He flew down, took us under his arms.
And out of the car, that's all. Nothing so strange about that.
And you saved our lives, Jimmy's and mine. I don't understand even now, but I'm grateful.
Are you, Professor?
Well, do you doubt it?
Would you do something to prove it?
Would we? Anything at all.
Then make me a promise. Promise that you'll say nothing at all about what's happened.
What? Don't you want people to know?
Not just yet. I want no one to know. Except those I help. Will you promise?
Well, if you wish.
I do, believe me.
Then you have our word. Is that all?
No. You've given me your promise. Now I want your advice.
You want advice from us?
You know this world. I'm a stranger. You know the people in it. And I have still to find them out.
You want to meet men, is that it?
Not meet them, Professor. Observe them. Study them. See them at their best and their worst. Know which to help and when help is needed. If you can tell me that.
Dad, can we help him?
Well, I think so, Jimmy. If that's what he wants.
It would mean a great deal to me.
Well, my friend, if we can call you that.
I hope we can.
My first friends on this earth.
To mingle with people, to see men at the highest and the lowest, if that's what you want. Now, let me think. How about a newspaper, a great metropolitan daily?
A newspaper?
Well, yes, join their staff. Be a reporter.
Oh, but you can't do it in those clothes. Not that blue costume with the cloak and shield on your breast. Gee, you couldn't.
Jimmy, these are the cloak and the shield of Superman. If I become as other men, I shall dress as other men.
Well, you'll have to assume some kind of a name. What do they call you?
I have no name.
Well, how about Clark Kent? That sounds all right.
Yes, why not? It's usual enough. Won't attract attention.
Clark Kent. Clark Kent. Yes. And about joining a newspaper. That should give me an opportunity to learn the troubles of men, to know whom to help and when help is needed. I'll do it. Many thanks to both of you for your advice.
Well, no thanks are necessary. If there were only something more...
Just this. Remember your promise. never to reveal my identity. And now, goodbye. I've stayed too long, and I'm off. Goodbye!
Goodbye! Goodbye!
They're right. Superman must become a reporter. A reporter by the name of Clark Kent. Clark Kent. I'll do it.
City Roll. White.
Listen, Chief. You better get somebody in that railroad story right away.
Anything break?
Looks bad. I don't know where your dope came from, but it sure was right.
Well, where are you now?
At the yards out of town. If I were you, I'd have somebody watch the man they call the Wolf.
The Wolf?
That's what I do, Chief. Watch him. Trail him. Follow him every minute. He's at the bottom of this as sure as you're born. Oh, hey, I gotta beat it. Someone's coming. So long.
Excuse me, Mr. White. Young man's still waiting.
What young man? Oh, the one who wants a job? Well, let him wait. Who have we got that's free?
McCann's on the coast. Grayson's down in Virginia. Most of the day men are full up.
I knew it. Confound, it's always the way. Something breaks and nobody to handle it.
What is it, Mr. White?
Railroads. Sabotage. I didn't believe it, but there may be something in it after all. If there is...
Yes, sir?
If there is, Miss Smith, it'll be the biggest story since Lindbergh. And me short-handed. Oh, what's the use?
Yes, sir. About that man.
Oh, send him in. Send him in.
Yes, sir. Come in, Mr. Kent. Mr. White will see you now.
Thanks.
You want to see me? Close that door.
Yes, sir. My name is Kent. Clark Kent.
What can I do for you, Mr. Kent?
Well, Mr. White, you can give me work, I hope.
Work? On the paper?
Yes, sir. I'd like to be a reporter.
Oh, you'd like to be a reporter. What papers have you worked on?
Well, none, sir, but
no,
I...
No, you haven't. But you think you'd be a whiz. Well, I'm afraid I can't use you, Kent.
You mean you haven't any openings?
Not for greenhorns. I'm sorry if I'm blunt.
But, Mr. White, even if I am a greenhorn, suppose I brought you a good story.
And where would you get it? I'm afraid you'll have to excuse me, Mr. Kent.
A really good story?
Such as?
Such as the complete inside on the man called the Wolf on the Western Railroads?
What's that?
You heard me. Do you want that story?
Do I want it? Well, I should say I do. But look here.
I think I could get it for you, Mr. White.
What do you know about the Wolf?
A little bit.
Where did you ever hear his name?
In connection with railroads, Mr. White.
Oh, stop beating around the bush. I only heard the beginning of that myself yesterday morning. Not a paper in the country's carried a line, and yet...
And yet I come in here and talk about it. I think I could do something with it, Mr. White.
Now, look here, Kent. Mysterious secret messages have threatened to tie up every railroad in the country, beginning with the Western. For a while, the road paid no attention, and then the crack flyer on the P&R went off a bridge.
Yes, I read about that.
Yeah, naturally. But you didn't read about the warnings because they weren't printed.
Weren't printed?
No, and they won't be. Not until we've checked all the angles. And then this man, the Wolf...
Oh, yes, the Wolf.
Now, where do you come in? How did you get to know the Wolf? Excuse me. Say your own, White.
My friend, tomorrow night, the Silver Clipper leaves Denver for the West. It will not arrive in Salt Lake City.
Hey, what's that? Who's this?
I have been called the Wolf. Goodbye.
Hey, come back here. Come back here. Wait.
Yes, Mr. White?
Where did that call come from?
I'm sorry, sir. The party's been disconnected.
Nuts.
I beg your pardon, sir, but if that call did come from the Wolf, I should be inclined to believe it.
Huh? How do you know who that was?
If I were you, I'd warn the officials in charge of the Silver Clipper.
Look here. You couldn't hear that phone. What is this? How do you know who called me?
As I was saying, Mr. White, suppose I brought you a good story. The story of the Silver Clipper and the Wolf.
I take chances, Kent. I'm going to take a chance on you.
Thank you, Mr. White.
It's 2,000 miles. You'll have to hop a plane.
I'll get there, Mr. White, in spite of the weather.
Lord, I hadn't noticed the weather. Well, get to the airport anyway.
You rang, Mr. White?
Miss Smith, this is Clark Kent, temporarily attached to our staff. You'll note I said temporarily.
Yes, sir.
Kent leaves for the West by the first plane. Get him tickets and a $200 advance.
Mr. White, all planes are grounded. Well,
that's all right, sir. I'll get there.
Take him outside. Show him what he needs to know.
Mr. White, I'd like to thank you.
Oh, let it go, Kent. Let it go. You get a story and you get a job. You're either clairvoyant or the luckiest guesser alive. Either way, I can use you. But if you miss out, well...
This way, Mr. Kent.
Thank you, Miss Smith. Nice of you to show me around.
Pretty lucky, I'll say. 100 good newspaper men walking the streets and you step right into a job.
I say, I am lucky.
You wait in here. It's the ante room of the cashier's office.
Well, I really don't need an advance.
Oh, playboy in disguise, eh? Wait here.
Oh, what a rotten night.
Don't fall out that window. It's 20 stories down.
Beautiful view, even in the fog.
You wait right here till I get your money. Then I'll introduce you to a few real newspaper men.
Planes grounded. 2,000 miles to go. Sorry, Miss Smith. I'm afraid I can't wait. Clark Kent may need a plane, but Superman doesn't. Up with the window. And out.
Miss Smith.
What is it?
Miss Smith.
Oh, what's wrong?
That man. Did he go out, that Clark Kent?
Nobody went through the city room.
No. He didn't go out. Well, I left him right here, the window. Oh, the open window. He went through it, and it's 20 stories down.
He went out the window.
Out the open window, 20 stories above the ground. In the wink of an eye, Clark Kent, cub reporter for the Daily Planet, becomes Superman, eagle of the sky, winging his way west over city and plain, river and mountain, through the storm-swept night. But will he be in time? Can he checkmate the strange figure called the Wolf, discover the plot, save the Silver Clipper, roaring toward Denver at 90 miles an hour? And remember, don't miss the next installment of Superman.
Up in the sky, look! It's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
To Project Independence and You. I'm your host, Evelyn Roth. My co-host is Elaine Hoskins, and Elaine is staff member here at the Project Independence Lounge in the fabulous Yes We Can Community Center. And Elaine, I understand that the Project Independence Lounge is the busiest place in the whole building.
It is absolutely
the
busiest place in the building.
That's great.
We have about 100 and I think we have at least a minimum of about 200 people that walk into the lounge per month.
Wow.
Minimum.
200 people. Okay. Elaine, our next guest, is an old friend of Project Independence and you. He's been with us several times giving us really good advice about safety and security. He is Bernard Hardy. He is a retired cop.
Detective.
Detective. Sorry. And he works right, his business is right here in Westbury on Post Avenue. It's called Interstate Security and Investigations, Inc. He talks to our senior groups about safety and security issues. He can be very entertaining, certainly very informative. Welcome back, Bernard.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Well, it's great to have you. Now, I understand today we're going to talk about con jobs.
Yes, but before I go to the con job, I just want to tell you a little story that happened recently.
Okay.
With one of the seniors. A good friend of mine, he was visiting China, and he realized that it was his mother's birthday, 80th birthday. So he was thinking of bringing her back a gift. So, you know, he said, you know, she has everything. She's 80 years old. She has a little bit of this, a little bit of that. So he saw these two exotic birds that he decided to purchase and ship it back to the States. The birds could sing, dance, and they could talk. So he sent them back, and he calls his mom about a week later and said, "Mom, you know, this is Tommy. I got, you know, did you get the birds that I sent you?" And she said, "Yes, I did. They taste really good." and he said, "Mom, I mean, you ate the birds? I mean, those birds can sing, dance, and talk." And the mother said, "Well, they should have said something." Boom, boom.
But I'm bumped, right?
Okay. So I'm a retired New York City police detective. I did 20 years on the police force. I opened up a private investigation business. I'm on Post Avenue. I'm also a Westbury resident. I live in a village. So I'm happy to be here with you because most of you guys here are my neighbors. So, you know, I just want you to know that you know, you have me in the area on Post Avenue. If you ever have any questions or you want to stop into the storefront and just say hello, you're welcome to do so.
I have to say here that the town of North Hempstead and the radio station, We don't endorse or recommend any business people because we're really not allowed to do that. But when we're looking for information about an issue, we have to go to the experts, and the experts are the people who are in the business. And so that's why we work with Bernard.
Of course. If you need any information on staying safe or any questions on security, you can come to me and I'll give you all the advice you need. Okay, we don't sell anything. We don't sell any physical items. Okay, so, it's just a service that we provide to the community.
Okay, let's get to those con jobs because okay. We always seem to be the target.
Okay, so con jobs for senior citizens. Some reasons why senior citizens may be more vulnerable to fraud and financial crimes is because they have a nest egg. You know, they accumulated a lot, throughout the years. They're always, most of the time, they're at home, so the con artists know where to find them. A lot of you guys have great credit, okay? Good credit. Some seniors, they become victims of fraud or schemes, and they don't want to tell their children about it, simply because, they fear of losing their financial independence. Like the children are going to take over their bank accounts and they're going to control the money, so they'll get ripped off and not say anything. Okay, someone will come in, they'll rip them off. So a most recent scheme that's going on, I think you should know about, is the grandparents scheme. It goes like this. You'll have someone, a young man or lady, call on the phone and say, disguise their voice. Hi, grandma, grandpa, it's your grandson. And the grandparent will say, who's this, Jimmy? Okay, and he'll say, yes, it's Jimmy. You don't sound like Jimmy. It doesn't sound like you. And Jimmy will say, that's because I just got into a car accident and I broke my nose and the cops arrested me for driving drunk for DWI. And then she'll go, oh my God, that's terrible. And he says, I need bail money. You know, I need you to send me $1,000 UPS right away and then I can get out of jail. And most schemes, people fall for con jobs because of two reasons. The main two reasons are they're either emotionally attached to it or they're greedy or greed, okay? So it's either emotional attachment or greed, okay? So just be careful with that grandparents' scheme. You know, don't send any money out to anybody, especially if you get a call like that. Then there's another one called the fake lottery scheme. It's the pay to play. We entered you into a lottery sweepstake, but you know we need you to spend a subscription, buy just one subscription of this magazine, and then you know we'll enter you into the lottery sweepstakes. Okay. So once you enter the lottery, they'll get you for that initial subscription, a small amount of money, $20 or whatever. Then they'll call you up maybe a month later and say, you've won. You've won the sweepstakes, okay? And matter of fact, they'll send you a check for $3,900 or maybe $30,000, $30,900. They'll send you an authentic-looking check. And they said, listen, deposit the check, and you have to give us just $9,000 or $900 to pay the taxes on the check. It sounds good. You're going to get $30,000, and all you have to do is give them $900. So what they'll do is what you'll do, what the senior will do is go to the bank, deposit the check in the bank because it looks authentic. The check will clear in one day because it's a law now. The checks will clear in one day. And right away, they'll take that money out the next day, the $900, okay? They'll send it UPS, or I'm not UPS, Western Union. They'll send it to the schemer. He'll make the $900, and then you'll get stuck with a bounced check. You'll get stuck with the money, and then you have to pay back that $900.
So they have to clear the check even though it could be a phony?
They will clear the check, and then they'll find out later that it bounced. Okay, mm-hmm. They will find out later that it bounced. So that's a big one that's coming out. And people relate because of greed. because of greed and emotion. So don't let emotion play on you, and don't let your greed get the best of you, okay? So those are two, and now we have another one, the credit card company, okay? You'll get a call, you're home alone, you get a call late at night, and they'll say it's the credit card company, it's, you know, such a Visa. We noticed that there was a large purchase that was made on your card, okay? And we believe it's fraudulent, okay? And they'll have your address already. I just want to verify a few things. Are you Jane Doe? Or do you live at such and such address? So you figure they must know it because they have your address, okay? All I need is the security code on the back of the card, the last three digits on the back of the card. Can you give me that? Oh, yeah, sure. I'll give you the, you know, because we have to reverse those charges right away, or else your charge is going to be, you're going to be charged for them. So they'll give the code on the back. And just let me verify. I have the last four digits of your credit card is so-and-so-and-so, okay? Can you just refresh me on the first six, seven digits? Boom, 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 boom. They got your credit card number and the security code from the back, okay? Just be aware. I know that you guys are aware of these, but what I'm giving you is a little refresher course, okay? I'm giving you just a little
How do they get the last four numbers of your credit card?
Let me explain something to you. Whenever you make a purchase online or maybe in the store, the last four digits will show up. It'll show up, and then the first few digits will be deducted. You know, they'll be X'd out. So it's easy to get those. Look, if you do, these thieves are smart. They do research. They do research. If you think that someone's just going to try and scam you by just, they'll do their planning, they'll go to the internet, they'll do all they'll get as much information as you can. Let me tell you, the internet, full of information, public information. They can get your Social Security. I'm a licensed private investigator. They can get your Social Security number, your date of birth. They do, you know, it's out there. Everything is out there.
Will your credit card company ever call you with a call like that?
No. No. They'll send you something in the mail. They'll never call you and ask you for any type of information like that over the telephone. Never, 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 never. Okay? They'll never do that. Okay? There's another one. You got people that knock on your door, and they try to solicit charity, money for their charity. Maybe for Haiti. I mean, there was an earthquake in Haiti, and we need to... Don't give money. Don't give money to anybody that's knocking on your door for charity or selling candy. Okay, they'll sell you a dollar bar of candy for $5, you know, and the rest is going to a charity. It's not going to a charity. Okay, it's not. They're just overcharging you, and they're going to keep that. They're going to keep the money. They'll probably pay 50 cents for the bar candy, and they're charging you $4.50 for it because they're telling you it's going to a charity. So now they're playing on your emotions. They're playing on your emotions now. It's either emotions or greed.
Okay, we need to take a break. This is really interesting and important stuff. I don't know if you guys are going to have questions when we come back, but we're talking with Bernard Hardy, who is a safety and security expert right here in the Westbury Carl Place area. You're listening to Project Independence and You, and we will be right back with our live audience. Stay tuned. Hi there. Welcome back to Project Independence and You. I am your host, Evelyn Roth. Elaine Hoskins is my co-host. We are talking with Bernard Hardy of Interstate Security and Investigations. We've been learning about scams that target seniors. We are here in the fabulous Yes We Can Community Center in Westbury with a live audience. And we have our first question of the day from Regina.
Okay, hi. I have a question for Mr. Hardy. Your Medicare card. I don't know if many people know about it, but your Social Security number is your Medicare number. And a lot of people didn't realize that, I for one, because I got a call a couple of weeks ago and asking me, I was calling about an oxygen machine. And the first question was, can I have your Social Security to see if you qualify to get it for free? I said, I don't know you. Why should I give you my social security number? Well, you want to find out. I want to find out, too, but I'm not, I don't even know who you are, and I'm going to give you my number. I mean, you have a big company here, Indigen, and this is the way you answer a phone? Can I have your Medicare number? And that's another thing we have to worry about. Call it. They don't say Social Security. They would say Medicare number. So you have to guard that as well. That's what I want to say.
Good job on your part. Because when in doubt, leave it out.
That's right.
Okay. Don't give Social Security numbers over the telephone, credit card numbers over the telephone, especially unsolicited.
Or Medicare numbers.
If you didn't solicit it, don't give it out. If someone calls you up, don't even engage into a conversation with them, because these guys are slick. What they do is they'll find a weak spot and then they'll go in for the kill. They'll get you conversating about something and they'll totally distract you from what their main purpose is, and then they'll basically get it through subterfuge. You know, they'll get it from from the back end. Okay, because she's too smart for this, so they'll get it from the back end. So don't engage too much, especially if you did not solicit. I mean, especially if you didn't call for it.
Bernard, what is one of the most common calls that you receive from seniors?
People calling up for scams over the telephone. I mean, getting scammed over the telephone, okay? That's big. When people call your house or they call your home and they start asking you questions, again, don't engage, okay? There's a scam that's for homeowners that we became aware of. You'll get this construction worker. He'll come to your house. He's got dirty construction clothes on, and he'll say, "Look, I was working on a house around the corner, a driveway around the corner from you, and I got some extra material. And you know, if you want me to pave your driveway, or you know, throw some tar on your driveway, you know, I could do it. I got extra material. You know, we're just gonna waste it anyway." So you agree, you'll say, okay, you could do the driveway for a small cost, $200. I'll pave it with the black tar. You know what it is? Oil. Black oil. Black oil. It'll never dry. It'll never dry. They'll put the black oil on it, and it looks like black tar. It'll never dry. Okay, so they got your money, and you're still waiting for it to dry. You ever sit around and try and wait for paint to dry? You know? Could take a long time. So just beware of that one too. And inspectors come into your home where the water meter readers, where the water meters, where the boiler inspectors, and you know, your chimney. We noticed that your chimney needs a cap on it. You know, look, if you're not soliciting those, don't entertain them. You know, because they're gonna give you some sort of price that you, this is a good deal. If it's too good to be true, it is. It is too good to be true.
Bernard, we got some information from the New York State Attorney General's office that seniors are being targeted by people calling and saying that they work for Microsoft. Do you know about this one?
Finish. Let's
they
hear
say
it.
That your computer, we've detected that your computer has a virus, and we need to correct that virus, and it costs $300, and we need your credit card so that we can fix your computer, or else you're gonna lose everything. And a lot of seniors have been falling for it. And of course, Microsoft would obviously never do that. So I got that call. I actually got that call in my home. I couldn't believe it. I was speechless. I'm going, I know who you are. I know who you are. So it happens. I mean, what else have we got? What about the Social Security report?
Well, how about this one? I see this a lot. I moved to Westbury about 15 years ago from the city, and I noticed that people leave their keys in the car. They'll run into the store and they'll leave the car running with the keys in the car. I see it a lot. When I first noticed it, I said, wow, they got money out in Long Island. They left me a car. Somebody didn't want their car. They just left the car there. They'll leave the key in the car and run into the store like nobody's gonna steal it. Okay, and number Number two, they'll leave the bag on the passenger seat with the door open. Even if you don't have the door open, you see a bag. In some places in the city, you see a bag on the car. They'll break your window and take the bag. Okay? So I've seen that. The keys left in the car, bags left on the side. I like this one. You go in the supermarket and you see the person's bag up where the baby seat is. You see the bag open. Like, let me ask you a question. Are you going to pay for something walking around the supermarket? No, you're not. So why have the bag up front like you're going to pay for something? Put the bag inside of the cart against the cart, and then put the food inside. And then when you have to, make him work for it. You know, when you have to take the money out, then you move it. But don't leave it on top like that. That's too easy. All you do is
My arm is through it.
Okay. So the thing is with the arm. Some people carry their bags, right? Well, wrap it around their hand. Well, if they robbed the bag, they're going to have to take my arm with it. Yep. They'll take your arm with it. They'll drag you down the block, take your arm with it. Don't carry, when you're using a credit card, if it's a credit/debit card, you can use it. Use it as a credit card as often as you can. Don't give that PIN out a lot, because the PIN, you know, my daughter got done, you know, they wiped out her checking account, you know, and she didn't have much money. They wiped out her checking account.
Excuse me? It's insured.
Yeah, I mean, they got to do an investigation, but if you need the money, if you need the money, you got to wait until the investigation's over, 2 weeks or whatever. You know, I had to, you know, pay a rent. You know, I'm just saying, you're going to get it back, but why even, you know, just be smart about it. Okay?
What are the steps to getting assistance after being scammed?
Okay, it depends on the scam. It depends on the scam. I mean, if it's a bank scam, you have to contact your financial institution, and they'll do the investigation for you. And they'll, a lot of times it's insured. Money's insured up to, I think, $100,000 or something like that. You know, so if it's a bank scam, it depends on where you're getting scammed. Okay, sometimes if you get scammed in your own home, there's no repercussions. You have to suck it up and take it. You know, you allow someone to come into your home. A good one is this: the inspector comes to your home, knocks on the door, you lead him to the back where he can inspect whatever he has to inspect, and then someone will walk in after him and go up to your bedroom and rob your jewelry, and you never know what hit you.
Bernard, I know I wanted to ask you about these emails that I get from prescription drug companies wanting to sell me 300 Viagra tablets for 25 cents. Now,
what, those are not good? You shouldn't buy from them, do you? Okay.
It always makes me laugh because I don't use Viagra, but
what it is, those are Canadian drug stores. Never buy anything from the internet, especially drugs, because you never know what's in the drugs. A lot of times the pharmaceutical companies, so-called pharmaceutical companies that manufacture these drugs overseas, they're in unsanitary conditions. There's all kinds of drugs, and you're ingesting these. You don't know what you know, they're not FDA regulated. They're not regulated, you know, by the Federal Drug and Food Administration. They're not regulated. So don't buy anything on the computer, especially when it comes down to drugs, okay, that you have to ingest.
Okay. Got it. You know what? We're out of time.
Are we really?
Yes. Isn't that sad?
I had a lot of stuff to do.
Well, you can hang out with these folks, but I do want to thank our guest, Bernard Hardy. I want to thank our audience, which was fabulous. Thank you. I want to thank my co-host, Elaine Hoskins. I want to thank the person who stood in for our usual producer today, Rebecca Miller. For those of you who don't know, Rebecca is my daughter.
Oh.
My beautiful daughter. Our producer, Christina Liu, was not able to be with us today because she lost her grandmother this week, and we're all very sad and thinking about you, Christina. I also want to thank Dan Cox, who is director of broadcasting at LIU Post, and the force, the wonderful force behind WCWP and 88.1 FM, the very first station on your FM dial. I want to urge all of you to tune in next week when we're going to have a fabulous show, and we will again have our old-time radio segment. And until then, enjoy life.